This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is the Thursday, April 16th edition of TalkBack, and TalkBack is sponsored this morning by our friends at Y West Storage. Secure, flexible self-storage in Missoula. To reserve your storage unit today, call Y West. All these are 406 numbers, 510-0590 for Y West. Quality Seamless Gutters brings you expert gutter installation and repair. For a free quote, 728-4002. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales. Call Bruckner's at 541-9097. Busy Bee's Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. Give Busy Bee's a call for a free estimate, 550-3219. Gomer's Diesel Repair Parts and Service in Missoula. Call Gomer's, 728-7620.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, good morning, everyone. Advancing through the week, one more fabulous day in this week, but right now it's Thursday, April 16th, and we have open phones for this first hour. The fabulous Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
All right, and so this first hour, ladies and gentlemen, pretty much belongs to you. So if there's something you want to talk about, you can give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Now, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about education with Susie Hedlund. She's the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Montana. She's going to be joining us from 9 to 10, taking your phone calls, talking about all sorts of things related to schools, and we're looking forward to that. But one thing locally is that, every year, the Missoula County School Board puts out a couple of levies, and so the school levies appear on the ballots each year because about 20% of funding comes from, and I think you probably already know this, voter-approved measures. And let's see, this year, MCPS is asking voters to help fund the budget. There are two levies on the ballot for Missoula County Public Schools. Now, the cost of the elementary levy, I've got it right here for you, comes out of their website. Cost of the elementary levy is $1,356,027, or $6.21 per year for every $100,000 in assessed property value. Cost of the high school levy is $1,132,187, or about $2.77 a year for every $100,000 in assessed property value. So that is what's going on with the mill levies. So if you would like to talk about that, that's great. 721-1290 is our number. As we mentioned, Susie Hedlund, the OPI, the superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction, will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, it's open phone, so we'd love to hear from you. 721-1290. Mr. Nick, what's happening with you, sir?
Nothing exciting.
Oh, come on.
Nope, nothing exciting to report. I will say here, the University of Montana did pick their new president officially. So Dr. Jeremiah Shin will be taking over. The regents approved that in a special meeting on Tuesday, just a week after he visited campus. So UM has their new president.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, congratulations. That's great. And we hope to eventually have him on the show. He's got to find his desk and get all settled first before we can intrude on him to come visit with us on TalkBack. But we definitely will reach out to him and ask him to come on by and answer questions from listeners because, hey, the new president of the University of Montana is big news. And Seth Bodner was the president for many years, and now it's Mr. Shin. So, and we will do everything we can to get him on the show so you folks can ask him questions. So that's kind of what we do here. Anyway, it is right now, though, it's open phones at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. This entire hour is dedicated to what you would like to talk about this morning. So if you have something on your mind, if there's something going on in your neighborhood or something going on in the news that you would like to discuss, the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we are going to take our first commercial break here in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of Talk Back.
In a world to come.
Dennis Bragg with the latest forecast. Not full on winter today, but you'll be reminded of what it was like a few weeks ago. Starting out with a 70% chance of snow or mixed rain and snow showers this morning. An increasing chance of showers as we get into the afternoon. Highs topping out in the mid 40s and some gusty west winds up to about 20 miles per hour. Tonight, the snow showers or rain showers taper off before midnight, but it will be cold Friday morning with lows getting down into the upper 20s. Stay warm and keep it tuned here for your latest updates.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Talk Back, and Open Phones is underway. Let's get right to the phone. Say good morning to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hello, Peter, and good morning, everybody. A couple of things from New York City. Every morning at 4 a.m., I listen to WABC Radio.
Wow.
One reason is because I want to see what's going on with the Muslim mayor and the population in that city. Because sooner or later, the economic downfall of New York is going to affect all federal funds here, tax dollars across our country, which means our own state, Montana. And, of course, you've heard that he wants to start these city grocery stores, which are totally absurd and unnecessary. It's going to affect our retail chains like Walmart and Albertsons and IGA's, Western Family, and all our other grocery stores.
Well, Kroger. Now, Nancy, hold on just a second. When you say these community grocery stores, are these is he planning to take over some of the existing grocery stores, or is it going to build new ones that are simply like free food for everybody?
He's planning on building from the bottom up brand new, and he's saying $30 million for the first one, but it's estimated it's going to cost $150 million. And right now the budget, his budget for the New York City alone is bigger than the whole state of Florida's. And I just want to say this is going to fail, and it's a shame because we have a great grocery store economy here in our country that offers a lot of jobs and even management jobs and trucking jobs. And also we have a food bank network across the country, a national food bank network that is excellent, that helps feeds millions and millions of Americans. So what I want to say is if when this falls, and I don't know if it's, I don't think this is really going to get implemented there. The governor could stop it, and I think that the people of New York City are going to be outraged over this whole thing. And I just want to, Nick is a sportsman. He watches a lot of sports. And I heard something else this morning on that news network that the Mets, the New York Mets, they're firing players, ball players, who sympathize or who are Trump supporters and replacing them with others that aren't supportive of President Trump or what he's doing in Iran. And they said that today on that news network.
I don't know. I did not hear that.
Yeah, no. Nick is shaking his head.
But I didn't hear that. So this is brand new news to me. That doesn't sound like I'd have to look that one up. Those players make a lot of money. And I don't think political affiliations come into play at all, but I don't know.
Well, that's what I just thought I'd mention this because Sid Rosenberg had this on his show this morning, and he's number one, supposed to be number one in that state for news and whatever. But I thought that was very disturbing. And the mayor of New York, Ma'am Donna, he did show up for a game, and they treated him like royalty, even though he is pushing socialism. And I think he is a very, very dangerous man, not only in New York City, but also for the whole country. But did you hear, too, that he canceled all 4th of July events in Times Square? He says it's for safety reasons, but I think it's because he doesn't want to show a patriotism.
I have no idea. I don't really pay very close attention to what happens in New York City, but I'm glad you're paying attention for us.
Well, because sooner or later it affects the whole country. You know what I'm saying? And what happens, you know, in California and the West Coast seems to affect the whole country too. And I mean, we're kind of, you know, it's our tax dollars is what I'm worried about, because we're going to have to subsidize these grocery stores, these city-owned grocery stores in New York City. Some way, they'll probably, you know, if we get another socialist president inside the White House. And they're going to take all these funds that President Trump has been building up, because he's been building up our treasury. I mean, just look at these oil tankers that are going to fill up. 68 oil tankers are filling up on our crude oil. This is money for our treasury. They'll just blow that money in all these socialist programs. That's one of my greatest fears.
Well, I'm looking at the headlines here. It says the locations of the first site of one of these New York City-owned grocery stores is going to be called La Marqueta in East Harlem, and locations for the remaining four boroughs are still being determined. The first store is scheduled to open in late 2027, so they got a while, with all five anticipated to be opened by the year 2029. And while the city will own the stores, a private operator will be hired to manage them. Says the initiative aims to offer a core basket of goods, that's a quote, at lower prices to address a 66% rise in grocery costs over the past 10 years.
Well, the problem there is that it's going to be in a ghetto. That's what they were talking about. A lot of these bad neighborhoods are ghettos, and we just don't need them. We have a fantastic food chain here in our country. Look at the foods that we have. When I go into Albertsons, I usually get produce at Albertsons because they've got the best. And Wimco, and then you've got Walmart's. And then here in my town, we've got Western Family and IGA. And, I mean, it's just going to affect retailers. I just think this is going to have be a downfall for our national economy. I don't see the reason to have city-owned grocery stores.
Well, I just watched a documentary with Bill O'Reilly, and he was talking about San Francisco and what has happened to San Francisco over the years, and it's really in a downward spiral there. Homelessness is really rampant in San Francisco right now, and he was talking to a lot of people and what's going on in San Francisco. Some people are very despairing about it. Others, obviously, are thinking, well, it's just the way things are, so... You know, our larger cities are in trouble in some cases.
They most certainly are, and that's because of the socialism, and I think a lot of it is due to the fact that so many people that are getting into state politics and city politics are not born citizens, and they've got dual citizenship, like this Mam Dani. He's a Ugandan. I mean, he came here wealthy. I don't know how they got their wealth in Uganda and Africa. Then he comes here, and they're living the good life. He's living in a $25 million mansion provided for the mayor by taxpayers of New York City.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? It's. I think our country is in trouble, Peter, and I'm very, very worried. I really am.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, ma'am. We appreciate it. We're up against a break. We're going to come right back. We have Ed, Jeff, and Dave all standing by, and we would love to have you give us a call this morning at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And, by the way, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be talking with Susie Hedlund. She is the superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction for the state of Montana. She'll be with us from 9 until 10, so stay with us. Sprack. This is Talkback. Open phones continues till 9 o'clock this morning. Ed is waiting very patiently. Ed, good morning, and thanks for calling Talkback. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yeah, I'm just so glad that at 4 o'clock in the morning I'm snoring. Probably I'm asleep. I'm not going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start worrying about New York City, for crying out loud. It just came as a shock to me that someone is starting their worry at 4 o'clock in the morning. But there's a website that I found I don't know how I found it, but it's called crimegrade.org.
Okay.
You can put a zip code in, and you get a report on the crime situation, and they give you a grade. Missoula has an A. Okay, that's good. There's a little town on the Musselshell River, though, that has a grade of C-. And they even tell you what part of town, this little town, what part of town is has a little more crime than the other part of town. It's really shocking. I don't know how they do this. And I've seen some areas that I'm familiar with have a red on them. So in any event, it's crazy, but I'm glad to see Missoula is green as far as crime is concerned.
Well, I was just looking at that map you just referenced, and yeah. I saw a great big red area to the east of Missoula. I'm wondering what that was all about.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
Well, it's looking like it's south of East Missoula, whatever that is. So I'm.
A smaller area.
I thought south of East Missoula was the river. What do I know?
Yeah. What the heck? Okay. Well, I'd say I'm glad again. I can sleep through 4 o'clock and start my worrying at 8 with you
guys. Okay. Well, okay. I feel like Alfred E. Newman. What? Me worry? Right. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And I believe who's that? Jeff. Who's up? That Jeff. Jeff. Good morning, sir. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Lisa. Hey, good morning, gents. Good morning, Montana. And I hope everybody got a good night's sleep. We're dealing with some chronic health things, and I've come to realize just what a blessing a good night's sleep can be. So,
absolutely right.
Yeah. And regarding New York City, it's kind of interesting that Nancy started talking about that, because there's a Substack out there called Insurrection Barbie that I've started reading in the last couple of weeks. And she just recently posted about New York City and Mayor Mamdani and his race-based tax structure that he's trying to put in.
Wow.
Basically, they want to shift the burden from overtaxed homeowners in the outer boroughs to the more expensive homes in richer and wetter neighborhoods. His housing official, Sia Weaver, you remember she who ran away when asked a difficult question and started crying? They want to impoverish the white middle class because homeowner is racist. Private property is a weapon of white supremacy, and white people especially will be impacted by the transition they're designing.
Wow.
And it goes on to talk about why they chose $750,000 and everything. But it's a very interesting read, and I suggest anybody who wants to learn about what's really going on, she brings the receipts. She just doesn't make assertions. She brings documentation. So I would urge everybody to read that. And then just to end up, I came across a meme out there. We're talking about Eric Swalwell and going away so quickly.
I know. He's resigned now. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it said the deep state took out Swalwell in 7 days. And you think they still have something on Trump?
Good point.
Yep. No, they don't. So thanks a lot, guys.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's move along. Let's get Dave on the line. Dave, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Okay. First of all, okay, about Trump. Well, then let's see all the information that's out there, and let's get it exposed. All those papers that are been blackened out, let's see them. See what Trump, is he involved or not? And there's never been a real investigation brought the women who he assaulted in bars. That's never been really put out there. But as far as worry goes, you know, what we should be worried about is one social program, Social Security. It is in trouble. It is, you know, as little as 7 years, we could see a 30% cut in Social Security checks going out. And people are just blowing that off, just not talking about it. And we really, I mean, that's an important social program.
You bring up a really good point, because Social Security is for those supposedly 65 and over, right? Although Social Security does have programs for families and children and all that sort of thing. And so it is a massive... It's a massive program, and the funding, like you say, it's way, way overweight, and who knows how long it's going to be before it collapses.
Well, it's not going to total collapse. They're going to cut it by law. If it goes, the budget, if it drops the way it's dropping in 7 years or less, there will be a 30% cut in the checks going out. So it will diminish. And I can survive a 30% cut in my Social Security check, but a lot of older people out there, I'm sure, can't. And that's what you should worry about instead of worrying about New York City and what's going on there. You should be worried about your own check, and that people should be coming up with solutions to prevent this calamity that's just over the horizon here.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to come right back. We have Harry and Lisa both standing by. And it's open phones till 9 o'clock, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're coming right back. Missoula has
Dennis Bragg with the latest forecast. Not full on winter today, but you'll be reminded of what it was like a few weeks ago. Starting out with a 70% chance of snow or mixed rain and snow showers this morning. An increasing chance of showers as we get into the afternoon. Highs topping out in the mid-40s and some gusty west winds up to about 20 miles per hour. Tonight, the snow showers or rain showers taper off before midnight, but it will be cold Friday morning with lows getting down into the upper 20s. Stay warm and keep it tuned here for your latest updates.
This is the captain. I want to invite you to join us every Friday morning from our local fishing program, Catching the Big Ones, live on the banks of Brooks at Paradise Falls. We'll help you get ready for a weekend of fishing with area reports and advice and try to make you a winner with our weekly trivia. Catching the Big Ones every Friday morning, 8 to 9, live from Paradise Falls on News Talk, KGVO AM 1290 and FM 98.3.
Right now, in the United States, millions of kids are living with hunger. This is something we can't ignore, but there is an answer. When kids get healthy meals, they have greater focus, more energy, and higher grades. Nothing is more important than feeding the hopes and dreams of children. To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org right now.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hey, welcome back. It's Open Phones on Talkback for this Thursday morning. I'm Peter Christian Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning, producing Talkback. Harry, thanks for holding through the break, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Peter. Nancy, I think I'm worried about her. I mean, she's that worried at 4 o'clock in the morning. That can't be healthy. I'm sure she's not a spring chicken anymore. So I would think I'd give a suggestion for her. Instead of, following all this silliness over in New York, watch some kitty videos or get out, take a walk in nature or enjoy life a little bit. Worried about five grocery stores going to destroy our whole, grocery economy. That's wow. I mean, don't have the internet, listen to some good music, some classical or whatever gets you, enjoy life a little more. Just don't worry so much about some silly little thing over in New York. I mean, geez.
Well, we love Nancy. She's a valuable part of our, anybody that calls in on a regular basis, we appreciate them like you. You call on a regular basis, as do other people. And we appreciate all of our regular callers, and we encourage more people to call in, whatever their concerns might be.
Yeah, she's entertaining, but geez, I mean, take a deep breath and enjoy. Get out and enjoy the world a little bit more. But anyway, and as for Jeff said, Swalwell was taken down by deep state. No, he quit. He was, I mean, he could have pulled the Trump. He could have deny, fight, stay in, you know, and just drag it out. But he didn't. He just, you know, for whatever reason, maybe he, they convinced him that it was bad for the, you know, the Democrats or whatever, but he quit. He could have, I mean, there's just been accusations right now, but he said, you know, I'll quit. I won't drag this out. But, you know, Trump just, I don't care what he, you know, says he grabs women by the, you know, their genitals, and, hey, I would just talk, you know, and he just drags it out and just complains and says everybody's out to get him. So, I mean, the idea that they don't have nothing on Trump is just that if they do, he takes them to court, drags it out, you know, has it. It's a great way of, you know, staying in because he has his base following him, his cult, as I say.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, he is the sitting president of the United States, duly elected. All right. So he has another year and a half or so before he's going to be out of office.
Right.
So is there someone in the wings? Because I know you pay attention to these things. So is there somebody in the wings that you would say, hey, I could go for that person, man or woman?
Pretty much anybody.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And as for talk about Social Security, it's an easy fix, but they just don't have the guts to do it. They just raise the lid on the amount that they take out of. You know, and right now it's a certain I forget what it is, but there's a certain level above that they quit taking out Social Security on.
AGV.
Just raise that, and also there's another thing that just came out recently where people are getting $100,000. And that they say, well, you know, we don't want people, you know, anybody will stop that, you know. Anybody getting $100,000 in Social Security probably shouldn't be getting it. So, I mean, but those are two easy fixes.
That's called a means test.
Yeah, right, yeah. And, right. You know, what? Sure, I mean, so those are two easy things. Like I say, it would save Social Security and really wouldn't hurt anybody because, you know, if you're making that much money, a few, you know, not getting a little bit more money ain't going to really destroy your life, so... But, you know, I've said it before, but, you know, they always keep on saying, well, you know, fraud and, you know, all this. But
fraud, waste, and abuse, yeah.
There's only so much fraud, waste, and abuse. It's not going to, you know, be enough to cover it. Yeah, they should go after it, yeah, but that's going to take time and money because you got to investigate. You got to have, you know, all that. So I don't know how much it's going to save in the end, but still they should go after it. But, again, it's easy. Just, you know, raise the amount or the ceiling and a means test.
All right. Well, that's something you can lobby for. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Lisa's up next. Lisa, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Please go ahead. We've got about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. I'm want to talk about this grocery business in New York and perhaps in other big cities. I think this is just another invitation of fraud down the road. All these government programs that we have had for the children, for this, for that, it turns out now where we're digging a little behind the scene into that, it turns out it has been misused over and over by the millions. The taxpayer now has to pay for this extra reduced groceries. Who is going to keep track of who is entitled to go in there and take advantage of that? Even our Social Security, we find fraud in it. People getting checks that are long gone, etc. I just don't believe in those kind of programs because for a while it looks good, but pretty soon these people that running the show, including people in government, they have a way of taking this money and using it where they like to use it. I just totally am against that.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. We're gonna take a quick break here for a moment, and then we have Skip, Elena, Brian, and Mark all waiting to weigh in on open phones. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll be talking with Susie Hedlund, the Office of Public Instruction Superintendent. She'll be coming up at 9. So stay with us.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy, but if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Hey, welcome back to TalkBack. Open phones continues until 9 o'clock this morning. Skip has been waiting. Skip, good morning. What's on your mind, please?
Good morning, Peter. And I was listening to Nancy earlier, and I kind of enjoy the fact that she keeps her thumb on the pulse of stuff like that, so that we know what maybe a trend would be, and you know, we need to think about stuff like that, earlier than later. So I'm going to suggest that we keep our minds on things that are coming up for us too, just like different things that might come up in our legislative session. Last night I went to a meeting that was all about Convention of States, Article 5 in our Constitution. And that's something that's bubbling again like it did two or three years ago, as far as people touring the state and doing talks on it and telling us research and the direction that it's going. Maybe you remember, Peter, when Rob Nadelson and Tom McGillivray, a senator from Billings, was touring the state and educating us about that subject. And Mark Meckler is doing the same thing now. And in fact, it'll probably be coming up in front of our legislative session in 2027, probably brought by Tom McGillivray again, I think, this last session. And the last couple of times, the proposal on the floor lost by just a little bit. Two sessions ago, lost by one vote as to whether the state of Montana would be able to apply to be, at that time, the 20th state of the 34 required to have a convention of states. And this time, there's going to be more people educated about it, so the possibility of it becoming reality might be there. Meanwhile, I like to watch things ahead of time. I'll say like Nancy does, and see what we're in for, so that we don't get sideswiped, and we know about the subject before it all of a sudden comes up on the floor and everybody goes, "What's that?"
You bet.
So, thanks for everybody jumping in and hearing about it and giving us a heads up about things. So,
thank you for the call, sir. Let's get Elena on. Elena, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Two things. The last caller, let's not confuse an Article 5 convention with the other convention that they're talking about, the Montana Constitution Convention. And that's what I think Rob Nadelson was talking about, that they want to put on the ballot for next year. To go back to Nancy, I heard part of a conversation and I heard people call it afterwards. Why is that Mayor Mondavi important to pay attention to for us here in Montana? One, ownership of grocery stores is communism. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. So that's number one about the groceries. Number two, he's a Democrat socialist, which is a Marxist, which is a communist. And I understand that the Missoula City Council has two or three Democrat socialists on the council now. And Peter, you probably remember when the new party infiltrated Missoula, they came very quiet. They went on school boards. They did, you know, committees. And then when people realized who they were and what they were, they changed the name. But they already were here present. And this is what they do. Once you're in tune to what they are, Marxists or socialists, they change their brand. So why is it important to us here in Montana? Because I believe Missoula Council has two or three Democrat socialists. So keep an eye on it.
All right.
And that's it.
Thanks. Thank you for the call, ma'am. We appreciate it. And that leaves Brian. Brian, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please, sir.
Thanks for taking my Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to push back on Dave and Harry a little bit with as far as Nancy goes. I know a lot of people that when they wake up in the morning, they listen to the news. And at 4 in the morning, Missoula news is slim picking. So I don't think that's crazy at all. I'm sure Dave and Harry don't wake up and listen to whatever music in the morning. I'm sure they listen to news. It's not that crazy. But I also wanted to point out, I've been listening to this. I'm only 35, but I remember you and John King and all that.
Oh, my goodness. You have been around for a long time. Go ahead. Sorry.
But I remember back in 2015, Dave was calling up saying that Trump was running as a joke and he'd never become president and all that. And I've listened to Dave and Harry hack on him every day since. And Trump derangement syndrome is a diagnosable mental illness. And I'm a little if we should be concerned about anybody, I would think it's those two. So maybe settle down on Nancy a little bit and look inwards. That's my comment.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right. Up next, I believe we have Rick. Is that right? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Mark. I'm sorry. Mark, go ahead, please.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good. What's up? What's on your mind?
I just find it rich and pretty funny. Somebody like Harry calling in and telling a nice lady like Nancy, she needs to get out and get a life. Come on, this guy is a poster child for needing to get out. So that's all I have to say. I'll be glad you go statewide. Maybe we'll have to listen to him so much. Have a good day.
All right, thank you. Well, by the way, we value all of our callers. We appreciate every one of them. Okay, it's up. We're up against a break. Stay with us. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Coming back after this quick timeout.
No,
Peter. Hey, we're back on Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. And let's get right back to the phones. I believe is Rick standing by next. Rick, good morning. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, people need to get off in Nancy's case. The grocery stores in New York don't affect us, kind of like the fraud in Minnesota didn't affect us until it actually did affect us. And so I think Nancy's point is that this can be a rolling ball that can eventually affect every taxpayer in the United States, just like it did in Minnesota. But that's not the reason I called. I call all the time, and anybody that knows me knows that I admire and I love the Jewish state. I love the Jewish people. Everything that I think is wrong in this country is what's not wrong in Israel. On April 13th, they celebrate or they commemorate National Holocaust Day in Israel, and traffic stops, all businesses stop for a short period of time, sirens go off, and it's amazing that everything just stops in its track. And, you know, we're getting to the point where we don't even remember what 9/11 is. And I think when we lose our past through doing our daily life things, we can't lose our past. And the Jews have not lost their past. The Holocaust was a moment for them that they'll never forget. Just like all the other things that have happened to the Jews. And that's what's wrong with this country, is we're just too busy not paying attention to our past. And that's why I admire the Jews and I love the Jews. And I am a Zionist and I'm proud to say it. And I think Nancy has every right to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and worry about a ball that could be eventually rolling, that could go from city to state to state. It did in Minnesota. It went to California. It went to Massachusetts. So everybody needs to get off her case. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And I believe Nancy is standing by. Nancy, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Wow, the center of attention. I wasn't expecting all this today, Peter. My God. Well, I want to thank all of you for your very kind comments, and Lisa and Elena and Rick and Dave and Skip and all the rest of you that are in support of, yes, we are in problems. We're having trouble. And I get up sometimes at 3 a.m. because I listen to a lot of news.
Right.
I just want to stress the fact that I'm a freelance writer. I write a column here for our newspaper in Roundup. And
well,
I listen to a lot of news. And it's bothering me. And I'm like Lisa, you know, I'm skeptical of all this because... And sooner or later, we're going to have to pick up the tab because New York City, it's not just the largest city in the United States. It's the capital of the world. That's why this Muslim wanted to get in there so badly, because he's an anti-American, anti-Semitic person, and he has nothing but ill will towards the United States of America. And, you know, I'm a senior citizen, too, and, you know, I shop at our Family Dollar store here in Roundup, and I spend most, about 75% of my allowance, grocery allowance, right here at the Family Dollar, and I get us some great values. So I know what it is. I consider myself a very thrifty and good shopper, but I just want to help people understand that the threat of communism, like Elena said, it's everywhere. It's not just in New York City. I mean, this guy is really pushing socialism now, and he's pushing it on steroids. And it's going to affect all of us one way or another. So thank you anyway, and God's blessings. And my thoughts are with our country and with we Americans, because I am a blue, red, white, and blue person. You know that by now. I am extremely patriotic. I care what happens to each and every one of us. And sometimes you just have to get up at 4 a.m. and to just listen and spread the word to help out your fellow Americans. But, yeah, Harry and Dave, I walk my dog Diesel 5 miles every day.
Wow.
I do go out. I have a social life. I mean, and let me just say this. It's an old song, Peter, you remember this. The Animals sang it in the 1960s. It's my life, and I'll do what I want.
Thank you, Eric Burden. All right, good job. Thank you for the call. I love it. I love when people sing on the show. It's great. Sherry, good morning. You're on Talkback. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just listening to what Dave said. I don't think he's read Trump's biography. I don't know if he knows, but President Trump has had drops of alcohol his whole life because his brother was an alcoholic. And then also just a comment about caring more about that than New York is like just burying your head in the sand. Because New York is New York, and it's part of America. So,
all right.
That was just my comment.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And Dave is up. Dave, we got about 2.5 minutes. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yeah, first of all, I want to correct the record about I said on the radio weeks before the election of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I predicted that Donald Trump would win the election. And that is historical fact, and you can go back and look at the record. As far as my problem, I mean, I'm perfectly happy with Nancy saying what she said, and I support her opinions. But what my problem is with lies. I mean, I can handle the truth. But I can't handle lies. And, you know, when Donald Trump started his campaign with a lie that Obama was somehow not an American citizen when all the facts said he was, I mean, that was a bad moment for me. And it's proven out that Donald Trump lies so much that, I mean, I wish he wouldn't. There's a lot of things that I can support on him, but when he opens his mouth and spits out lies all the time, it causes me to, you know, have a problem with him. And as far as Israelis, Jews, I support them. At one point, I wanted to go to Israel and fight for the Jews, but when Netanyahu comes on, tells the United Nations 14 years ago that Iran was 6 months away from a bomb, and he's been saying it ever since, I mean, Netanyahu's not a nice person either. I like I said, I can't handle lies, and I have to object to them. The truth, I can, even when I disagree, I could, you know, truth is what we need in this country, not lies.
Dave, it's always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And that is going to do it for Open Phones, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for chiming in. You guys always make it great. We appreciate it. We are looking forward to the 9 o'clock hour because Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction, the Office of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, is going to be joining us on the phone. And we get a chance to find out what's going on with our school systems here in Missoula. I know that it looks like the here in Missoula, they're looking for two levies to be supported for operations here in Missoula. I'm sure all over the state that's happening. So stay with us. That's coming up here at in.
This is TalkBack 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday edition, hour number two of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning brought to you by Gomer's Diesel Incorporated, diesel repair parts and service in Missoula. Their number for Gomer's, 728-7620. Busy Bees Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. Call Busy Bees for a free estimate at 550-3219. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales, parts, and service. Call Bruckner's, 541-9097. Quality Seamless Gutters brings you expert gutter installation and repair. For a free quote, call Quality Seamless Gutters, 728-4002. And Y West Storage, secure flexible self-storage in Missoula. To reserve your unit today, call 510-0590.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, good morning once again, everyone. Peter Christian here. Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning. And we are privileged to have with us Susie Hedlund, Montana's Superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction for the state of Montana. Susie, good morning and welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, Peter and Nick. I'm happy to be here with you.
We are thrilled to have you as well. And so we want to give you this first segment to just kind of fill people in on what's going in, what's going on in your world, at your office, the things that you're working on, perhaps initiatives that you're putting together. And specifically, if you could kind of lean a little bit toward Missoula area, that'd be great. So tell us what's happening in your world.
Well, it's been exciting this spring. We've had a lot going on, so I'm looking forward to sharing. One thing I wanted to share is that I was recently in Washington, D.C. for our annual federal meeting. We get together with all of our congressional delegation and talk about upcoming policy. We meet with all of the chiefs from across the nation, so it's a good chance for us to collaborate. And what is really important is right now the EdFlex waivers are open and Montana has submitted one already. We're going to go for another one. And we did receive one of the ones that we submitted, which is going to allow for schools across Montana have more flexibility with their federal funds. So that is a really important one and schools can apply to do that. So if they have an initiative that they need more funding for, they can now pool their federal funds together for that, say a big technology initiative or school safety initiative, rather than having to keep it in smaller pots and report on each of those individual funding streams. They can pull it together for something important they need to do, like a literacy program or so it's really giving that flexibility and that opportunity for school districts to meet their local needs.
All right, we do have a caller on the line that wants to visit with you. Let's get Catherine on. Catherine, good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead, please.
Okay, good morning. Two questions. I had a conversation with a neighbor the other day, and Peter, I did email you that conversation. And she told me she had a conversation with a teacher she knows about the school system. And she found out that at Big Sky High School, it is required that every classroom have a litter box available for students who identify as furries. And Peter, you said that Elsie Arnson confirmed this. If this is true, why are you allowing this and are you going to do anything about it? Second, are you looking into the curriculum that is being used to educate students who are majoring in education? And the curriculum, is the curriculum being used, a book called Teaching, Schools, and Society, And this curriculum was, designed by the father-in-law of Jeffrey Epstein, which is an interesting connection, and has certain ideological attributes baked into it, such as a more leftist bent in American history. Do you have any sort of authority about the kind of education that teachers are being subjected to at the university? Can you supervise the curriculum at all?
Well, I tell you what, we are running up against our first commercial break, and I know that's a mouthful for Susie to handle. So we're going to come right back after the quick break here at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, our guest here on the phone is Susie Hedlund. She's the superintendent of Montana's Office of Public Instruction. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout with more from Susie.
Cold and flu season.
Dennis Bragg with the latest forecast. Not full on winter today, but you'll be reminded of what it was like a few weeks ago. Starting out with a 70% chance of snow or mixed rain and snow showers this morning. An increasing chance of showers as we get into the afternoon. Highs topping out in the mid-40s and some gusty west winds up to about 20 miles per hour. Tonight, the snow showers or rain showers taper off before midnight, but it will be cold Friday morning with lows getting down into the upper 20s. Stay warm and keep it tuned here for your latest updates.
We're with Liam. After his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back, and we're privileged to have with us Susie Hedlund on the phone, the superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction for the state of Montana. Catherine had some interesting questions for you before we had to jump into the break. So, Susie, if you could handle those, we'd sure appreciate it.
Yes, no problem. Thank you, Catherine, for calling in. I will tell you, I have not confirmed litter boxes in our schools. That is a local control issue, but something I can check on. I have not heard about that being factual, so we can take a look. I am excited to talk about the educator prep programs. I feel we have done a great job of collaborating with the Commissioner of Higher Ed's office. They are the ones that oversee the programs for educator prep. However, we do accredit the programs through OPI. I can tell you we have taken steps to ensure that DEI is removed, and we have held up contracts even in those situations. So we have requested that they make some changes to the programs, and I can tell you that I have been super impressed with the college presidents working with me. They've been phenomenal, and that is not the case in other states. I know other states where they've had to go to the legislature in order to get things through, so they have implemented more behavior training and classroom management training per my conversations with them. So I think we're really heading in the right direction. And as far as curriculum goes, statewide, we are putting together a high-quality instructional material inventory on the OPI website, which Montana has not had before. We will have evidence and research-based curriculum that we recommend, and it'll have great information for our educators and schools around Montana to select from, even local references about which books they prefer or don't fit their community well and they've replaced with another. So we have done a lot in this area, and we will continue to work closely with our educator programs. I don't know specifically about that book, but I will definitely flag it. We communicate with them regularly and have just a great relationship with the Commissioner of Higher Ed's office.
Super. All right, we have a caller on the line. It is Rod. Rod, you're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Ms. Hedlund, I have the stats from the OPI site, and the years are 23, 24, and I think they still kind of mirror that today. And it's the proficiency scores, and this just is Missoula High Schools. Within math, 64% of them are not proficient. Reading, only 38% are proficient. And science, or 65% are not proficient. That's just a sampling of Missoula, and I think statewide it's probably about half are not proficient, roughly estimating. My concern is here, this is the high school level. This is where they go on to college. And my understanding, in college they have to do a lot of backwards education or backpedaling to get them up to proficiency just to get them through college. That's really alarming to me. And I'm not pointing at you for this. This is a long time coming, and with policies in the school districts and the state wide areas. Secondly, your testing, the state testing in the schools seems to consume a lot of learning time because the teachers have to spend time giving out these tests. Some of these tests are given to students that are so disabled they don't comprehend or can't communicate to complete the tests, so the instructor has to just kind of push the buttons for them. And that, I'm not exaggerating that. That's what happening here. So I don't know how we're even measuring any kind of improvement here when everything seems to be focused on the tests, or how are the kids learning when everything's focused on a test? I just think, maybe call me old-fashioned, I just think a textbook and a piece of paper and pencil, you could teach anybody anything. What say you? And
all right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Lots of questions there for you, Susie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so we will be putting out updated scores this summer and towards the end of the school year as we get those wrapped up. I will tell you that our testing is required if schools would want to participate in receiving federal funds. We have to hit a very high threshold of participation in those assessments. There are alternative assessments for those with disabilities, so we work with the schools to put that in place. We do have a new testing model in Montana, and I'm not, you know, gonna sugarcoat it. It was very rough when we first rolled it out. However, it's greatly improved. We're getting national recognition for it. It is giving teachers and parents, which is very important to me, it is giving parents score reports that next week. And the parents I've talked to said it has really helped them in supporting their students. It'll say, you know, they're not understanding the denominator and fractions. And then the teacher and the parents can both work with the student on that for one example. So I do think we're heading in the right direction with having that transparency of information that teachers can act on, rather than getting a report in the summer. When I was a teacher, we got the test results once our students had already left our classroom. Oof. And that did nobody any good.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. And I will tell you, our college students, our high school students, 80% of them, their junior year, are testing at the ACT level, already ready for college entry. So we do have some positive stats that we're going to make sure we share this summer. But we have worked with the Commissioner of Higher Ed's office to do research and to start a pathway and a plan to reduce remedial rates, which is what you're talking about, where they have to kind of go backwards in learning when they go to college.
We do have another caller on the line. Let's get Skip on. Skip, good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund, the Superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction. Go ahead.
Well, hi, Susie. I'm glad you came on this morning. I've been watching on a channel that I get, the Interim Committee on School Funding. And I see you on there once in a while, and I think that committee's, I think, accomplishing a lot of things, certainly putting all the cards on the table for examination of all the things that need to be fine-tuned, so we do the best with the bucks that we spend on all of our school systems in the state. I've seen you participate in a few things there. Would you just give us, please, an overview of the progress of that committee? Because it's pretty important, if I'm not mistaken. It's something that has to do with a 10-year study that we're required to do in the state of Montana. If you could give us some cliff notes on it, I think it's actually more dynamic than most people would think. If you watch a couple of seconds, you guys get into some, or that committee, and I think the leadership even does a good job making sure everything gets hit on properly. Would you please give us some dynamics about that? Thank you.
Okay. We are about 30 seconds away from a commercial break here. And so, Susie, do you want to just tackle maybe one aspect of that before?
No. We got 10 seconds.
Oh, we got 10 seconds. Okay.
We got to take the break.
Okay. We're going to take the break right now. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Susie's answer. Susie Hedlund, the Superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction for the state of Montana, joining us on the phone. And she'll be with us till 10 o'clock. 721-1290 is our number.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Sprague. The Montana Chamber of Commerce is continuing its series on the data center issue today, the second of three virtual seminars to help business and community leaders learn more as the state becomes the target for several proposals. Today's seminar, which gets underway at 1 p.m. via Zoom, will feature a discussion with Bob Morris. He's the Lance Energy Chair at Montana Tech. You can sign up through montanachamber.com. The final seminar will be on Montana DEQ Director Sonia Nowakowski. That'll be on April 21st. A loved Montana Grizzly player from the east side of the state is being remembered not only for his football accomplishments, but his commitment to serving others and inspiring a generation of younger players. Tracy Taylor reports.
A Montana Grizzlies standout with the deep Billings roots is being remembered across the state. Pat Curry, an All-American defensive lineman for the Grizz from 1978 to 1981, has passed away. After college, Curry pursued opportunities with NFL teams before returning home, where he served with the Billings Police Department and coached football at Rocky Mountain College. Known for both his strength on the field and his commitment to his community, Curry leaves behind a lasting legacy. In Billings, Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
We've heard a lot about Montana's business climate in recent years, with Governor Gianforte noting the state's progress in cutting red tape and taxes to help business startups and expansions. Well, it looks like the rest of the country is noticing that as well, with one Montana city ranking among the best in the U.S. for business.
When it comes to starting a new business, Montana is turning some heads nationally. WalletHub recently put out their list of the best cities to start a new business in, and it turns out Bozeman is the fourth best city in America, thanks to the things like startup costs and overall business climate. But it's not just Bozeman, as Montana itself had four cities make the list. See who made the list right now on our website. For the Montana State News Network, I'm Nick Northern.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to VetTix.org and FirstTix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Every act of change begins with a neighbor, with someone saying,
"We take care of each other here."
In food banks and food pantries, neighbors pack fresh food and dignity into every box, moving food from farms to families through Feeding America's nationwide network. So when that box reaches a home, it carries more than food. It carries a promise that together we can end hunger. Feeding America, led by neighbors. Take action to end hunger now at feedingamerica.org.
721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Susie Hedlund joining us on the phone this morning. She is Montana's superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction. So, Susie, any comments before we start taking some more callers?
Skip had his question.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Skip's question, please.
Oh, okay, yes. So the School Funding Interim Commission is very important. We have been studying the school funding formula, which we know needs work in Montana. I truly believe we need more transparency so that families and community members and others can understand it. As a school superintendent, it takes many years to learn. Clerks, they say it takes 4 or 5 years to truly understand, and we do have a shortage of those folks in Montana. We need people to understand where their funding is going and how it's being spent that's going towards schools. And schools need more flexibility to utilize the funding in ways that they need, rather than having so many strings attached and a rigid system that's outdated. So I'm really hoping that we get there through this work. Like Skip said, we've been meeting regularly. It's been very intense. I sit through those two-day meetings, and we are actually going to have an additional meeting this summer so that we can make sure we have a recommendation ready for the next legislative session. And so we've had a lot of different ideas come together, and we've got experts assisting and a great team of knowledgeable leaders from across the state, from all different fields, and a lot of educators at the table. That is one thing I'll tell you. We got a few public comments last time that we needed to include more educators, but many of us around that table hold teaching licenses and have spent many years teaching. So we truly want the best. I want to see our schools funded in the best way possible. And we're hoping that we come up with a a more transparent and manageable system that truly funds our schools.
Sounds good. Jeff is waiting on the line with a question for you. Jeff, you're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Susie. Quick question. Here on the Polson School District, I just looked at the calendar for the last year, and there were 6 teacher professional development days. There were 2 days dedicated to the Montana Federation of Public Employees, I guess union development. And there was 1 tribal PIR day, which was actually devoted to social-emotional learning, 4 sessions, 4 four-hour sessions, which is basically critical pedagogy, entrance into Marxism. So my questions for you are all those determined locally under the concept of local control? And have you initiated any statewide efforts to eliminate social-emotional learning, which is basically an entree into teachers, unqualified teachers who are not qualified to be counselors, getting into the students' emotions and trying to manipulate them towards critical theory type things? And then finally, unions. Where are we at with Montana teacher unions? I am not for them. I've never been for any public employee union. I think FDR was right when he said that he didn't say this. I think it can be described as a self-licking ice cream cone, that your union that goes to the government says we need more money, and the union goes, or the government goes, okay. And so it's self-serving at worst. So do you have any comments?
Yeah, I'd love to jump in.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. I look forward to tackling those questions. So I will tell you, there has already been a bill dropped by a legislative sponsor and I to talk about those days in the fall, those 2 days. I do think that it's an outdated practice that we require all schools to take those days off for those professional development days, because across the state of Montana, the needs are so different and there's so many opportunities online and you know, some math teachers want to go to a math conference or this or that. So I think that it should be up to the schools and local control to determine their calendars and when they want to place those days. So that is something we will be visiting during the legislative session. We, for example, at OPI hold the Summer Institute, which is coming up in Bozeman for a week in the summer where it doesn't impact families and the teachers can come get professional development that aligns with our goals of improving students' reading and math, supporting special education teachers, and those critical components, school safety. I will tell you that there are a lot of professional development components that are required through the state legislature. We are required to have Indian Ed for All training regularly for educators, suicide prevention, sex trafficking prevention, even for bus drivers. So there is a laundry list of what schools are required to do professional development with annually for the teachers. However, we do have an incredible online list of programs that are vetted through our office that educators can take. And we recommend things like threat and risk assessment for school safety. That's kind of the new mantra of how you prevent incidents from happening and get more staff trained to keep an eye out for things. That's the new model in school safety that we're really promoting, and we have courses on that. So we have new courses on the assessment that you were talking about, supporting teachers in that and how they can share those score reports with families. We have a lot of great information out there. There's a lot of groups that do incredible professional development that we highly recommend. And we do work with many groups as well as send staff out across the state to provide that support. So there's a lot of options, and I think it should be up to the districts to select their professional development. I do not have control over what they select. That is local control. But we do offer and recommend as much as we can very high quality professional development.
I would have to say that each day is a challenge and a very busy day for you.
Yes, and I love it. I love that yesterday I got to be in the school with students. Yesterday we were in Great Falls for Purple Up Day. We honored and recognized our winners across the state that go above and beyond to support military families.
Wonderful.
So that was an excellent day.
We're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Susie Hedlund joining us. Stay with us, everybody. Emergencies.
Every weekend, Diane Beck and Becky Peterson, the Beck and Beck team at Windermere Real Estate, present Missoula Real Estate Today on News Talk KGVO. The Beck and Beck team provides years of local experience for your real estate transaction and bring you guests that provide useful information on products and services available in our community on Missoula Real Estate Today. Saturday mornings from 8 till 8:30 and replayed Sunday mornings from 10:30 till 11 on News Talk KGVO, FM 98.3 and AM 1290, and on the free KGVO mobile app.
Not all people are the same, and yet when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
Welcome back. This is Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Susie Hedlund is the superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction of the state of Montana, taking an hour out of her very busy day to visit with our listeners. And so let's jump right back in. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
Susie had some stuff she wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes.
About,
Susie, you have some things that you want to stress before we get to our calls. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, yesterday was the Day of the Military Child, and we got to celebrate Purple Up Day in Great Falls. Obviously, with Malmstrom Air Force Base, we have the highest population there of military-connected families, and we have an opportunity for schools to become Purple Star schools, and I would love to see every school in Montana be a Purple Star school. That means they have someone at the school that's a champion for military families moving in or out, and they celebrate and honor veterans. These are just really great programs, and any school can become a Purple Star school. But this year, we honored and recognized Troy High School, Whitehall High School, Central Elementary School in Helena, and Chief Joseph Elementary School in Great Falls. And then we have individuals that have gone above and beyond for these families. So that was a really special celebration to recognize those students that go through, you know, their parents being gone and switching schools multiple times, and just had a chance to celebrate our veterans as well as our military families, which is really important to me. So I encourage all schools in the state to look at becoming Purple Star schools.
I was a Marine brat myself. We moved all over the place when both my parents were in the Marine Corps, both lifers in the Marine Corps. And so we moved a lot and saw a lot of different schools. And it would have been nice if I'd had a chance to have the opportunities that you're providing with the folks here in Montana.
Yes, thank you. It's important to us to make sure that they can get right into their sports or activities without any challenges. We make sure all their credits transfer, just any supports we can provide. And so that's what it's all about. And I think it's a really important program.
Fantastic. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Tom. Tom, good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, ma'am. A while back, we had a lot of stuff going on with the ICE immigration stuff, and a lot of the kids, it seemed like, decided that it was okay for them to walk out of the classroom and demonstrate, which is okay, I guess, except that the school districts in Montana, especially a lot of them, continue to ask for raising the mill levy on taxes so they can get more money, yet the kids are allowed to not attend classes. And I just wondered what the state policy is on the children that decide that they need to go out on the streets and protest rather than be in class learning with the tax money we're paying. So that's just my question for today. Thank you.
Thank you. I will tell you that is up to local policy, their attendance policies and rules around those kinds of things. So that is not something that we handle, but schools are required to fulfill so many hours according to receiving those tax dollars of education, and they need to have a majority of students there for that. So we do evaluate that with the schools and ensure that education is occurring for the appropriate amount of hours for that funding that they receive. And, you know, I do think it is really important that we have schools, students in school. Attendance is something that we need to work on across Montana. And students have to be there to learn. And so in order for us to get those math and reading scores up, we need them there. So I appreciate you pointing that out. And we'll continue doing whatever we can from the office to support schools and making sure they can deliver education.
Well, we have about 2 minutes before a break, so I was really anxious to hear about your Washington, D.C. trip. What happened?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to have a private meeting with Secretary of Education Linda McMahon. I believe I was the only state chief that was able to do so. And Kirsten Basler, our friend from North Dakota, previous superintendent there. I really appreciated that opportunity because I got to share what we would like to see change in Montana, how we would like to take advantage of these flexibilities and returning education to the states. And so the fact that I've gotten to have a seat at the table and have input for Montana and how these changes will impact us, what we'd like to see, how we'd like this to take place has been incredible.
I would imagine that the being the superintendent of public instruction, you get a lot of exposure to what's happening all around the country.
Yes, it is a great opportunity also for me to sit down and talk with colleagues about what we can do different, what's working in other states. So we brought back a lot of great ideas, and we had just a great opportunity to talk about what we can do. We talked about the assessment. Like I said, a lot of states are moving towards our new assessment model, and since we were kind of leading the way in this, we have overcome some hurdles, and it's getting better and better. So I'm excited about that. You know, we're just being very innovative. A lot of people are very interested in our data modernization plan. In the last year, we have been overhauling our data systems so that we have less administrative burden in our schools, and they can spend more time on teaching and learning.
We'll be right back.
If you're a small...
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen over there, producing Talk Back, taking your phone calls. Susie Hedlund, superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction, joining us on the phone this morning. And Rod has been waiting through the break. So, Rod, go ahead. What's your question, please?
Thank you again. I just wanted to go back to the proficiency numbers. You stated that the SAT success was like 80% of those taking the test. And I guess that's, I would say, well, yeah, that's more impossible because you have advanced students and you have proficient students, you know, total number 40% probably roughly. So if those are the students taking the SAT, it is going to be successful. That goes without saying. However, that would imply that we just kind of give up on the 60% in the state that aren't proficient, which I don't think is a good thing because we need the workforce out here. We need an intelligent workforce. We need some professionals in the workforce. I'm not opposed to the two-year schools either where they come out with a career, but I'm just thinking that this proficiency is not being addressed. We got the testing, which you seem to be very pro-testing, and I get we got to measure it, but three times a year takes away from the learning. It's kind of rough on the students, too, because they're going over material that they may necessarily not been taught. And students are programmed to succeed. Well, when they're taking a test that's based on what the state wants for funding, they may not succeed at it. So that's kind of demoralizing. But what are we going to do about the proficiency? That's the elephant in the room. Whether our SATs are at high rates saying that we got success here, I don't think so. Are you going to address the proficiency, and how are we doing that? Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Rod. Okay, Susie, please go ahead.
Yes, so I'm definitely not protesting, so I want to clarify that first of all. I do think that if we are going to take the time to test, though, we want the information, and we want to be able to use it to drive instruction to improve those proficiency rates. So that's why we switched to this testing model, where there is a report within 1 week or less that can actually be used to identify what the students didn't do well on, and so we can have that chance to support them in their learning. So that is the thing that I think is helpful. If we're going to test, we need to be able to do something with the information. Data-driven instruction. I will say that it is the ACT test, and that is our state test for high school. So all of the high school students take that test their junior year. And as juniors, they are doing well on that test statewide. That's what I was sharing, that data point, which we'll put out a data release, like I said, this spring and summer, and you'll have all those stats. I'd love to get you more details on those. I will tell you there's a few stats that I'm happy about. We are 10th in the nation as far as bouncing back from COVID. That's because in Montana, we did a good job of keeping our schools open. I know as a local superintendent in Townsend, we stayed open as much as possible.
I was, was going to say, it was amazing how well the school systems did during that. And it was all hands on deck for that.
It was. It was a lot of work, and it was a hard time in the field, but Montana did well, and our scores show that. We do have a ton of work to do. One of my top three priorities, is increasing reading, reading and math scores. So we are focused on that. We have literacy initiatives across the state. Like I said, we're working on making sure districts have top-notch curriculum, and we are working on math programs. We're working with teachers on ensuring that they have the training that they need and the high level of content knowledge, especially in that math area where we see that being a challenge. So we have a lot of work going on. And another factor that directly correlates with proficiency is student attendance. So we have to have them there learning. So that's another thing that we're working on with this. So this is very important. I am very glad that you mentioned it. You know, an hour and a half of literacy instruction a day should be taking place K-2. And because we need those students to know how to read by third grade, so then they can start reading to learn. So we have a lot of work going on in this area, and we'll have a big focus at the Summer Institute on this, where we have educators and administrators from all over the state. So happy to visit more and provide more stats anytime.
You bet. Let's get Becky on the line. Becky, good morning. You're on Talk Back with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about systematic changes. I wonder if you have in mind any systematic changes, because we've been sort of addressing these problems for years and years, attendance, behavior, and some of those have gotten worse and worse. But there are a core group of students that are already proficient and on track. How do we meet those needs, the needs of the higher performing students, so that they are our best and brightest and future entrepreneurs and leaders of Montana?
Good question.
Thank you. That is a great question. I was just telling Peter when we were on break, I got to meet with the Skilled USA students and their leadership team. Those are the students going above and beyond in that area. They do everything from welding to woodworking to career readiness. And for the trades, as we were talking about earlier, I'm definitely pro trades, and we have a great expansion in our CTE pathways. So one thing that we have going, we've created great flexibility for those students, especially as they get into middle school and high school, is more hands-on real life experience and college opportunities. So we have students that are earning their associate's degree while they're in our Montana high schools now. Phenomenal. We also have students that are getting their welding certificates, getting their CNAs, all kinds of great programs going across the state. And I got to see these Skills USA students welding right beside college students, you know, or even adults entering that career field. So pretty incredible work. And students from your area that were phenomenal, from Missoula and Hamilton. And so to get to be able to judge them and see their work and their passion and how they're already able to sit through a job interview, a mock job interview. These were great things to see. We are talking about gifted students and how we're supporting them in the School Funding Interim Commission also, you know, and how Montana supports those students at the top. We really need to make sure we address the needs of learners at every, you know, step of the way. So we are taking care of that across Montana.
I would imagine it between the higher population areas and the more rural population, there's got to be a balancing act there.
Yes, that is a challenge. So we have been working on how we can replicate the models for work-based learning in our rural communities. So we have a lot of online opportunities, as well as the welding example I just gave. They created a mobile welding unit so they can take it to our rural schools, and those students can have the same opportunity right. to operate that equipment across the state.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break, come right back, and we will wrap things up with Susie Hedlund. Phone lines are open, 721-1290. We'll be back after this quick timeout.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
What does life after service look like? Kicking back? Taking it easy? We believe it looks a little different. Fighting for all veterans. Making sure they get the benefits and care they've earned. Rebuilding communities after disaster strikes, and adapting to support today's veterans, meeting them where they are. The VFW, still leading, still advancing, still serving. Get involved at stillserving.org.
Welcome back, everybody. A final segment here with Susie Hedlund, Montana Superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction. And we have a very exciting partnership to talk about with an amazing business. It's based right here in Missoula. So what can you share about OnX?
Yeah, I am proud to announce a partnership that we have with OnX to promote youth outdoor recreation. So Montana students ages 12 through 17, upon completion of their hunter safety courses, can receive a free one-year subscription to OnX Hunt Premium. And it has been really fun to share this with families and students. I've had a student reach out and thank me just this week. So that has been really cool. Outdoor recreation and learning is part of who we are in Montana, and I'm just excited to promote that and support those students and families in that.
Wonderful. And I do know that there's so much going on in Missoula right now, and one of those things is the anticipated school mill levies. So what information can you share with us specifically about Missoula and the surrounding Western Montana area?
Yeah, it is important. We're talking about a lot of these factors at the School Funding Commission. Schools often run levies for facilities and for technology specifically. I think it's really important to be informed. Go to a school board meeting, ask them the questions about their budget, how they're utilizing these funds, and what their plans are moving forward. I would like to see less requests on the local taxpayer, as all of us would, but you just really need to be informed on the local level about these funds and the needs of the district and how they're managing their funds. That's why I think it's really important we get a more transparent funding formula in place in Montana, and I'm working hard on that school funding commission to see that happen.
Now, is that something you'll be dealing with the legislature in the next session? Will you be there personally helping to ride that out?
Absolutely. We monitored over 200 bills last session, and that was, I got sworn into office and went straight up to the legislature that day to start presenting the OPI budget. And so this year, we're already preparing and working with legislators on these components. We're working with the School Funding Commission to come up with a recommendation for the legislature, and I will be up there advocating for school funding and that it comes in the ways that, I know as a teacher, principal, and superintendent, we need our schools to be funded. So there's key components that I'll be watching for and advocating for, and I'll definitely be communicating with our local superintendents. So one thing that we're doing is we are attending the regional superintendent meetings. So we have teams coming up there regularly. We were just at Evergreen School last week, and we work very closely with the school administrators across the state of Montana to see what their needs are and coordinate and communicate with them as well.
I do know that there are school mill levy elections are coming up, and schools are asking for help. If you wouldn't mind just sharing from the top just how important it is for the people in the Missoula area, the Western Montana area, to fully fund their schools.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's really important that you are participating in those meetings. I'll tell you, the school funding meetings, the budget meetings, where the school boards decide which levies to run and set their budget, happen in the summer. And a lot of time we don't have public attendance at those meetings. And we really need the public to be informed so they understand the needs of the school, where the money they have is going. And they, you know, those elections matter, and who you have at that table matters. So you need to get involved in your local elections so that you have trust in those folks that they're putting the dollars towards the right programs. I know there's been a lot of questions about different programs that schools are spending their money on and how we're educating our students. And you need to be involved in the local school boards and make sure the right people get elected if you're concerned with those issues.
I would imagine, too, that getting to know the folks that are involved in the school boards and then offering your support, whether it's financial, if they're running for office or whatever, for advertising, that sort of thing, to have the community behind them, that's got to be a huge advantage for anyone who wants to serve their community in that way.
Yes, it can be challenging, and I think it's really important that you know those folks that you're voting for, and that you have a voice in the room, and that you're attending those school board meetings where those curriculum decisions are made, as well as the professional development and the budget that we've been talking about so much today.
And every now and then, sometimes those levies don't get passed. And then what happens then in a situation where the levy doesn't pass? And it's kind of a cautionary tale.
Schools have to make decisions. I mean, the top budget line item is salaries. So, you know, salaries are set, and that's important. We need to pay our teachers in Montana and honor our profession. But we also, you know, have to take a look at curriculum. How much is being spent on that? Professional development, activities, athletics, transportation. There's so many components. You know, the new school healthcare trust is in place, and we're hoping that is going to allow schools to have a better sense of how much they're going to need to spend on healthcare and keep those rates under control, where we've seen huge spikes that have had a big impact on school budgets in the past. So that is something that's going to be, we're hoping, turns out to be a great cost saving to districts and will help a lot. So that's a statewide school health insurance trust.
We've got about a minute and a half left in our time together, and I wanted to give you, if you wouldn't mind offering some contact information of how we, obviously we had to get our local schools, but if we want to contact your office or the Office of Public Instruction, how do we go about doing that?
Yeah, so on the OPI website, which we are redoing, and I'm looking forward to that, we're going to have a lot more accessibility, and it's going to be, you know, one or two clicks to find what you need, so that'll be very nice. But if you go on the OPI website right now, my team's on there. You can see all of the contact information, whether you want to contact someone about legislative policy. You know, I have an incredible team, and their duties are listed on there, as well as their contact information, and I have an open door policy. You're welcome to come have a cup of coffee, visit with me anytime.
Wonderful. Susie, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Have a great day, ma'am.
Thank you. Thanks. Have a great day.
The same to you. All right, Mr. Nick, as we look forward to a Friday, a one-hour edition of Talk Back coming up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. What's up, sir?
Yeah, we'll be on from 9 to 10, and it'll be Peter Cole by himself talking about forestry days for a little bit, and then taking your quick questions.
All right. So thanks for joining us, and thanks to Susie Hedlund, and thanks to all of you for joining us. We will be seeing you tomorrow morning.